In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Wow, right? What an amazing procession, amazing, beautiful way to start our Mass. I think that was the most lit procession I've ever seen, personally, for me. And I just think it's so beautiful. We just need to give praise and thanks to God for how beautiful our faith is, for how amazing God is, and how thankful we are for our church and for our community. You know, this church is packed today because we need Jesus. Like, we come to church because we know how much in need we are of the Lord. And as far as we can be from Jesus, as far as we can be from His church, there's always something that keeps us coming back. There's always something that keeps us coming back to Him. I love being Chaldean. I hope you love being Chaldean too. If you're married or engaged to a Chaldean, you're very lucky yourself, okay? That this is a beautiful gift, right? Our community and our faith is so beautiful. Our culture is so beautiful. And it's something that we have to rejoice in. It's something that we have to give thanks in. Because I don't think that other churches have this kind of Palm Sunday, okay? And the reason that we have it is because we know how much we love Jesus. And we know how much He means to us. And we know who He is to us. And this is something that we have to be thankful for today. That His love and His grace is amazing. And the fact that we're here in America and that we still have this beautiful faith and this beautiful culture is something that we need to give thanks to God for, that we need to praise Him for. Jesus today does something so beautiful and something that we can learn so much from. He comes into Jerusalem, but the way He comes is important. It's easy in our life to fall into a lot of pride and to just live with an ego. And this is something, when we're blessed as a people, it's something that we can easily fall into, is to have ego and have pride. The more you have in this world, the more success you have in the world, the easier it is to fall into pride. Look at how much success Jesus had. In His 3 years of ministry, how many people He healed, how many people He changed, how many miracles He performed. Jesus had all of this success, and He could have came into Jerusalem today on a huge horse. He could have came with an entire army into Jerusalem, but Jesus decides to come humble on a donkey. On a donkey. If you've ever seen a donkey, they're pretty stupid animals, okay? And they're pretty worthless. And this donkey that Jesus chooses is a sign of His humility and the humility that we're called to. What's interesting is that the people of Israel are waiting for the Messiah. They're waiting for the Messiah to come. The Jews are waiting for this Messiah, and they believe today, when Jesus walks into Jerusalem, that this is their Messiah. But their idea of the Messiah was wrong. Because to them, the Messiah was going to come and save them from the rule of the Romans. So they understood that this Messiah was going to come. He was going to save them from the Romans. And He was going to come with His army and fight and wage war against the Romans. Because the Jews were under the rule of the Romans. So when Jesus comes into Jerusalem, this is what they think He's going to do. That He's going to get rid of the Romans, He's going to kill them all, and He's going to get rid of them. Now, we learn very quickly that they were very disappointed because this Jesus, who they thought was going to be the Messiah, they kill 5 days later. Because they come to understand this is not the Messiah they wanted. This is not the Jesus they thought He was. And so they kill Him. Jesus doesn't come into Jerusalem to fight against people. Jesus doesn't come into Jerusalem to have war against people. He comes into Jerusalem to fight sin and to wage war with the devil. That's what He comes to do. Now, we, just like the Jews, can become very distracted and disconnected from God. And we can think that our entire life is meant to be a life that's lived to be against people. Yesterday I asked our communion and catechism kids. I said, how many of you fight with your brother or your sister? Every single kid rose their hand. And we imagine that, right? We fight with our siblings. We fight with our brother or our sister. But it's just become so normal. You know, and how many Chaldeans in our own families do we have? This uncle we don't talk to, or that aunt we don't talk to, or this family member that we don't talk to. And it just becomes so normal to do that. To just kind of shut people out and to isolate ourselves from people. This is what the devil wants. The devil wants us to be isolated. The devil wants us to be at constant war with each other. He wants us to be constantly fighting against each other. That's what he desires. But Jesus does not come for that. Jesus comes for peace. First, to give us peace between us and God. To give us peace that comes from God alone, but then also that peace is meant to spread throughout our lives and to be given to the people around us. What I've seen as a priest recently is how hard the devil is working to steal our peace. That's what he wants. Last Sunday, we heard about the Good Shepherd, and Jesus says that the wolf, the devil, the enemy, he comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. This is what the devil does. Have you ever wondered why, during holidays or during big events, all the problems start happening? Think about it. In our own families, when we're supposed to be gathering, when we're supposed to be getting together, that is when all the problems happen. This khaltu starts annoying me, this sister starts bothering me, this uncle is just getting on my nerves. That isn't just for no reason. The devil is very smart and he knows what he's doing. Why do marriages start to crumble around Christmas or Easter? Because these are times that we're meant to be together. These are times for peace and joy and love, and the devil wants to work so hard to break that apart. And sadly, he's winning in a lot of our families. Sadly, he's winning in a lot of our marriages, in a lot of our relationships, in our friendships. He's winning, and he's stealing our peace. He's stealing our love. He's stealing our joy. But we're not going to let him win. Because Jesus comes today as the Prince of Peace, the King of the world, and we're not going to let him win. The devil has no power over your marriage. The devil has no power over your family. He has no power over your friendships. And this is what he's trying to do. He wants to break apart marriages. He wants to break apart friendships and families because he wants us to be isolated. He wants us to be alone. Because there's no one more lonely, there's no one more isolated than the devil. The devil was once an angel who had the highest place in heaven. He was an angel who had the highest place in heaven, but his pride made him fall. His pride made him the devil. And so imagine in heaven, Lucifer had all of the angels around him, had a beautiful relationship with God. And then all of a sudden, because of his pride, he falls. And now he's alone for all of eternity. And that's what the devil wants. The devil wants us to be alone. He wants us to be isolated. He wants us to feel abandoned and rejected because there's no one more rejected, there's no one more abandoned than him. Jesus comes to bring that peace, and we need to live in that peace. We ain't got time for the devil, right? My favorite phrase is, not today, Satan. Not today. Not today, not tomorrow, not ever. And this is what he's working so hard to do. So how do we fight against that? The number one key to fight against that and to keep our peace is humility. We need humility. We need humility in our marriages. We need humility in our families. We need humility in our friendships. We need this humility. And sadly, we're running out of it. We are running out of humility today. I just think about the marriages, right? The marriages that were 50, 60 years ago. I was blessed to celebrate my uncle's 80th birthday this weekend, and it really made me so thankful for my family. We were celebrating his birthday, and I was looking especially at his marriage, at my uncle's marriage, who they've been married for over 50 years. And just looking at that marriage and how many sacrifices had to go through that marriage in order to have the family that they have, in order to have the kids and the grandkids that they have, in order how much humility had to go through that marriage and that family to be where they're at. Today, marriage is completely different, right? We complain about the smallest things. We get upset about the smallest things, and we allow these small things to ruin everything in our family. Everything. I just think about, you know, we know so much about love languages today. Physical touch and affirmation and acts of service, which are beautiful. But I don't think Khaltu Gorjia and Jiddu Mukhlis knew what that was, right? They didn't know what that was. Yumma Gorjia was slaving away, taking care of the kids, right? And today, if the husband doesn't do as much as the wife, God forbid, okay? And the wife starts flipping tables and losing herself because the husband isn't doing as much as me. Get over it. Get over it. The wife is called to be more sacrificial than anyone in the family. Than anyone. And that should show you your role as a wife. That you are a queen, and the queen is meant to sacrifice everything for her kingdom. So you are not being put down as a woman. I want to make that clear. Because when we hear these homilies, sometimes, oh, he's just a man, he doesn't know what he's talking about. You are a queen. Your family is your kingdom. How are you going to allow peace and love and joy to rule in your family? Because a wife can make her home a living hell, or she can make her home heaven. What do you decide to do as a wife? Your entire family is in your hands. My brothers and sisters, the Lord wants our peace, but we can't have peace unless we have humility like Jesus. What I love about our Chaldean church, again, is the way we give peace. If you want peace, the number one place to receive that is here. Listen, you can go with your husband, your wife, you can go with your kids to a million therapists and try to fix this and try to fix that, and that's good. But my brothers and sisters, if we're not seeking Jesus, no therapist can fix you. No therapist can fix your marriage, no therapist can fix your kid unless you're going to Jesus first. If you want peace, you have to have Jesus. Without Jesus, we don't have peace. Without Jesus, we don't have joy. That's why we're here. I hope that in this Mass, we experience that peace. We come to this Mass to receive that. We're constantly praying in this Mass for peace. And I love how we give peace in the Chaldean church. You know, we're different than other churches. I've been to other churches where they start kissing and hugging each other. I said, that's cute, but this is not what peace is about. In the Chaldean church, what this symbolizes up here is the kingdom of God, heaven. And from the altar, pay attention in Mass today, from the altar, the priest says, peace be with you. And then the priest gives that peace to the server. And then the server takes that peace from the priest, from the altar, and he gives it to the other servers. And then the other servers go and they spread it to the rest of the church. Because that is our faith. That we are receiving in every single Mass, we are receiving peace from God Himself, from His altar, from His throne, and that peace is being spread throughout all of earth. That's why we're here. We're here to receive His peace. So I wonder, how is the devil trying to shake your life right now? How is he trying to shake your marriage or your family or your friendships? And what is he doing in that? My brothers and sisters, it's not worth it to hold on to things. It's not worth it to keep anger and unforgiveness in our hearts. We need peace. And peace does not mean going to that person and telling them all the things and all the ways they wronged you. Let it go. Maybe we should have the choir sing Frozen Elsa, Let It Go, okay? I don't know. Some of us could use that. Let it go. In a couple of days on Holy Thursday, Jesus lowers himself and washes the feet of his disciples. And these are the same disciples who that very night we're going to run away and abandon him. And that very night, his head disciple would deny him three times. But Jesus still lowered himself and washed the feet of his disciples, who he knew were going to wrong him. Get over who's wronged you. Give it to the Lord. Humble ourselves like Jesus. Lower ourselves. And let's serve the people who hurt us the most for the sake of peace, for the sake of love, for the sake of joy. And we can only receive that through Jesus. And so I pray in this Mass that we would receive that peace, so that as that peace comes from heaven itself, and as that peace is given to the rest of us, we can walk out of here with our marriages, our families, our friendships, filled with that peace that comes from Jesus himself, the Prince of Peace. Amen.